Welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Peju Bambushi Bonkelsberger.
Hi, everyone, and I'm Naomi Bambushi.
And today we have a special guest with us, a Lone Star Emmy Award winner, Carrie Lofton. How are you, Carrie?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
Good.
We're doing well. We're really happy to have you here. Thanks so much for being on the podcast. We always like to start off having everybody relax with a quick 1-2 punch. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So we need to know, cryptocurrency or metaverse?
Metaverse.
Metaverse?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Versus or hot ones?
Hot ones all the way.
Hot ones?
Yeah.
Steak or sushi?
Ooh. Sushi. I'm gonna say sushi.
Sushi. Okay. All right. Yeah. Hot tub or massage?
Massage. All the way.
Okay. And celebrity crush?
People are gonna probably laugh at this one, but I gotta say, Martha Stewart.
She has
aged gracefully. So I love my wife so much, but I gotta say Martha, man. Something about Martha.
Martha, okay, all right. Yeah. I was not expecting that, but that's good.
She's handled everything very well and managed to reinvent herself over and over again.
Yeah. People forget that she went to jail almost. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I didn't forget, that's right. And now she's partnered with Snoop on multiple things. Yeah.
Yeah,
for her. Yeah, I like that.
So we always like to do a toast for our special guests, celebrating all of your accomplishments. So, Ma, will you please lead us in with a toast?
Okay, ready, guys?
Ready.
Long life and prosperity, health, wealth, and happiness. Salud.
Yeah.
Okay. Woo. So, Carrie, you are a photographer, a videographer, you're an entrepreneur, and an author.
Yeah.
So we need to talk about this book, Money Talks, Confidently Price Your Work. All right. So I felt like you were talking to me because I am a business owner. Tell us how you got started with this book.
Yeah. So, I never set out to be the guy that talked about money or pricing or anything like that. I still was trying to really learn it myself, not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And, just kind of through something that was something I always, you know, I knew I wanted to value myself, even though I hadn't had kind of all the right pieces or the right info. I just knew, like, when I picked up a camera, everything I do, I wanted to value myself. And so I was always asking questions about of other people, business owners who are in my same field. Like, hey, what do you charge? What should I be charging? What should I be looking at? And then just kind of gain the information that way, you know, watching a lot of YouTube videos, researching online. Mm-hmm. And so when the pandemic hit in 2020, it feels like it's been so long, but
10 years ago, it feels like, yeah.
Yeah. So, I had a content creator reach out to me, and, this was back when everybody was doing Instagram lives because everybody was all in the house bored, just trying to figure out what to do. They reached out and they were like, hey, let's do a collab Instagram live. So I was like, cool, let's do it. And so, she kind of put it on me to decide like what the topic would be. And, for me, I was just like, I don't know. I just kind of tossed it out there. I was like, let's talk about money. I was like, you know, I know a lot of creatives, they struggle with figuring out what the price, I get asked about it sometimes. Let's talk about money. Didn't really expect much of it. And then it just blew up. They didn't even have a ton of people on the live, but just by us putting the video on our pages and like letting it live there, people just started hitting me up. I started answering 3, 4, 5 DMs a week of, hey, what should I charge? What should I charge? What should I charge? What, you know, I got this project coming up. How much should I charge? And so I was like, man, this is definitely blown up. And it kind of helped me too, because again, like I said, I was still kind of learning. So I was just sharing with people what had made me successful, but I didn't feel like I was necessarily an expert on the topic at that point. But by everybody reaching out to me, it kind of kept me on my game of like, oh, well, that's a good question. Let's find that answer out together. And yeah. So it just kind of grew from there. And so it really kind of got to a point to where I was like, you know what? I don't mind helping people, but I am tired of writing the same DM over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So I said, I was going to set out to write like a little 10-page PDF ebook that I could just send to people when they asked. And it was just something I wasn't even going to charge for it. It was just something I didn't have to write the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. Sat down to start writing. I ended up with about 7,000 or 8,000 words. And I was like, this is going to be a little bit longer. And so I've always had the dream to write a book. I've wanted to write a book for 10 plus years. And so I started some ideas and then started some ideas, because the first book was actually supposed to be like my life story and my experiences and things like that. But I was like, man, I'm so close with this, and this is such a needed subject. Let's just go all the way. So from there, I just kind of dug my feet into the ground and developed some of my ideas to make it a little bit of a longer read. And so and that's where we are. And it's been helping so many people. I get so many people that say the same thing. And you're talking directly to me. This is exactly what I needed. So.
Oh, for sure.
Perry, I have a question. Where'd you get the title of the book, Money Talks? Is that the beginning of a very popular phrase, or did you, where'd you come up with that name, Money Talks?
Because so one of my favorite movies is Money Talks with Chris Tucker. I don't know if y'all seen it, but yeah. I love that movie. Yeah. Okay. With Chris Tucker and Charlie Sheen. But I didn't set out with that in mind. I didn't find the title until late in the game of like publishing it, because people don't even know, like, I designed the cover actually as well. And so I was, I remember I was sitting in bed and I had another title. There's actually, I was going to post this the other day. I was going to title it Don't Make It Weird. And then like subtitle, like How to Price Your Work, because so I used to do a lot of work for DeMarcus Ware. I remember when I sat down with him, this is actually a sub chapter in the book, but I remember when we sat down and we were talking money, he could tell I was really uncomfortable with it. And he just kind of was like, hey, man, he's like, don't make it weird. He's like, you need money. I need money. You have money. Right. I have money. We're talking business here. It doesn't have to be weird. So at first I was like, oh, I'm going to name it Don't Make It Weird. But when I was designing the cover, it just didn't roll off the tongue. It didn't captivate people. I wanted something that people could hear it and automatically know kind of, okay, this is where this is going. And so I was sitting in bed with my wife, just kind of brainstorming. And I just said, money talks, money talks, money talks. And it's like, okay, cool. Cause it's like, money talks. Of course, there's a saying that like money talks when you're talking about business, but then it's also conversations about money, because I do think it's such a thing that like nobody wants to talk about it. Everybody wants to kind of like keep it close to the vest. I don't want to tell people how much I've made. I don't want to share, for fear that I'm not charging enough or I'm charging too much. I don't want people pocket watching. And so for me, this is definitely, it was a perfect title too, because I want to start allowing people to have some transparency in that area of let's talk about it, because we're, it's not, I don't care if people know how much I made or how much I'm bringing in. I'm helping the next person get some confidence, because they could see, okay, cool. If he could charge that much, I could get to that point as well. So I just want those conversations to continue happening.
Okay. Do you think that fear is the number one reason that people are afraid to put out their rate, their price, or even to ask for a higher salary?
I think fear mixed with a little bit of like just having that confidence as well. That's why, it confidently price your work is in the title, because I don't want people to just know what to charge. I want them to present it and be able to stand on it confidently. So that's a very important word in that subtitle, because I do think I've sat there and I've had conversations with people and they're like, I'm like, yo, in their situation, I'm like, no, they might be making $50,000-$60,000 a year, which is not a bad salary. But I'm like, yo, there's people doing what you do with half as much talent or half the resume, and they're making 130, 140,000. And people have literally said, yeah, I get that, but nobody's ever going to do that for me. That's a confidence issue. You know what I mean? Because absolutely, there's something there that if, you know, I'll never forget when I found out, I won't say how I found out, but I found out that there's a video production company that was charging someone $75,000 a month on retainer to do video work. Mm-hmm. And there, I think confidence is the difference in saying, man, that's amazing, wish that would happen to me, versus, man, if they could do it, I could do it. If that's the bar, yeah, there's nothing that's different from them and me to be able to put in that same situation. So that's the goal. But there's some people who can't, they look at that and they say, man, I could never get somebody to pay me $75,000 a month. That's a confidence thing. So I think it's a little bit of both. I think there's the fear, mm-hmm, of, I don't want to get rejected. I don't want to say a price and it's too much, and then I get rejected. But then I think it's also a confidence of like, I'm not worth that. I don't think I should be getting it. I don't think I deserve, what I'm doing is not important enough, or I'm not talented enough, and I'm not skilled enough. I haven't learned enough. I don't have this degree next to my name. So there's all these different types of things that's working against their confidence to be able to stand on what they should be charging.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, because I've had,
so
many times I thought that, you know, to myself, you know, starting out a new business, like, oh, you know, I want to get as many clients as I can. I don't want to try and charge, you know, more than the next person, or as much as somebody that's been around for 10, 15, 20 years. So I get what you're saying, but you have to be confident in yourself and realize what you bring to the table.
Absolutely.
You have so many gems in this book. I'm going to quote, I am valuable, I am worthy, I deserve to profit off the skills and talents I have been blessed with. My gifts are designed to make room for me. I belong here. I have nothing to lose and nothing to prove. I really, really love that. And that's something that I've started saying at the beginning of my day and when I go to bed at night. And I really do appreciate that. So what's an example or an approach you would use for a potential client who is a little bit more frugal than the average potential client?
Yeah, it happened. And just a note about that, I have nothing to lose, nothing to prove tattooed on my arm. You probably can't see it, but that's how much I believe that. Yeah, my pastor said that one time and it just stuck with me. Nothing to lose, nothing to prove. Because it really is like when you approach that situation, and this kind of segues into answering your question. Mm-hmm. All that fear is gone for me when I'm talking to people, because whether they say, yeah, you know, whatever you're charging, we'll pay it, or they say, this guy's out of his mind, we're never going to pay that much for a video or photo or whatever it might be. To me, that takes nothing from me. You know what I mean? And the skills and the talents that God has given me. So I actually deal with it more than people think. I think people have the perception of, okay, he's got it figured out. He wrote this book on money, so every shot he shoots goes in, and it doesn't happen that way at all. And so for me, I can kind of start to tell the red flags of if people are going to be like a little bit more budget conscious, which is okay, because like I say in the book, like there's some people who are, unfortunately, they're cheap and it's to a fault and their business, because they have the money to spend. They just don't see the value in spending it. Mm-hmm. And for those people, I understand that's a losing argument, basically, because that's a branch off of a rotten tree, basically, because if you don't have the mindset to say this is worth the investment in my business, then I can't help you, because you're probably, if you're a restaurant, you're probably ordering the cheap meat that's about to expire tomorrow. You're probably in a cheap, you know, building in a bad neighborhood because you want to pay rent. You know, there's all these different things that you're probably doing to sabotage your business because you don't see the value in investment. Those are the type of people that usually, like I said, in my initial conversations, one of the things I take a lot of time in screening clients before we even get to working together, the time to find out that this person's cheap and they're not the people that I want to work with is in the middle of working with them. I try to get, you know, I have a conversation with people and I try to see, and they start saying things like, you know, we want to keep it budget friendly, or, you know, I literally just had a meeting last week where they were like, you know, we hired somebody and it's not the greatest, but it's what we could afford. And I'm like, you know, for me, again, those are thoughts where it's like, okay, cool. If you're already you're already in this mindset that like you're trying to skimp on things, you know what I mean? So when I have people like that, usually I try to not even, you know, I'll do one or two things. Mm-hmm. I will offer them, if their budget's not super far off. Now, if we're talking about a $10,000 commercial and they want to spend $500, there's not much that I could really do with that. But, you know, if they still have a decent budget, you know, I always tell people, you can get something, you know, we can do something. It may not be the overall, the bigger vision, but there's still something that we can do. And then I try to work within their budget to let them know, hey, the idea is going to change, you know, maybe with the final price, still going to be a high quality final product, but it may not be, you know, instead of a 60 second video, it might be a 30 second video. Instead of shooting on five locations, it might be two locations. You know, we try to scale the idea to their budget, but then when you just have people who just, they're just like, nah, I just, you know, this is what I don't want to pay, then I don't really care what their budget is. I really don't want to work with that, because you're not valuing me. You're not valuing what I'm bringing to the table. Therefore, you're not going to value, that's not going to change in any part of the process. And it's probably not going to be a good working relationship at all.
So do you think it's easier or more difficult as a creative to set your rates?
I think it's harder. I think it's harder, especially as the world and technology grows, because people, the way that the world looks at content now, mm-hmm. people think that it's easier than it is to create really good content. They think, oh man, I have a phone that can do really great. You know, that's one of the reasons why I stopped doing weddings. You know what I mean? Because brides will pay $10,000 for a dress and $20,000 for a venue and $5,000 for a cake. And then they want you to come and shoot from the moment they open their eyes to the minute they drive off into the sunset. And they want to give you $500. And the reason is that they don't see you as any different as their mom who's sitting on the front row with her camera. They're just like, the only thing that's stopping her from being able to do that is because they don't want her sitting there and missing the ceremony. So I do think that there's a misconception about what goes in, the time that goes into the creative process, especially when you're doing it on a higher level. You know, I have a project that I'm working on right now where I've spent, you know, 30, 40 hour work weeks just in meetings and planning the project. You know, this is before we even have gotten to shooting and editing. You know what I'm saying? I'm spending 30, 40 hours a week just planning it. And so I do think that there's a misconception of like, hey, you're just pressing a button. You're just taking a photo. You're just recording a video. And there's so much time that goes into it that people don't see.
You know, I didn't even think about it, the point you made, because I was just always thinking of it as art. And I think that with art, you know, you can price art. You know, you can be very, what's the word? I don't want to say creative with art, but you have a lot of latitude.
Yeah.
When it comes to pricing art. And that's what I was thinking, but I can see definitely how it could be, you know, more difficult. Something else that I wanted to bring up from the book, and I don't want to go too much into it because I want everyone to go out and get the book. But I thought this was like really cool. Well, you said that when you go to a restaurant, you don't negotiate the price, you know, like whatever. If the chicken is $25, you're going to pay $25. If the steak is $100, you're not going to go and say, oh, can I get it for 20? You can't mm-hmm. do that. What has been your biggest regret and triumph with negotiations?
Definitely, probably my biggest regret is, I mean, there's probably not an exact situation, but it's probably been anytime, you know, I've basically sold myself short for the prospect of an opportunity, and then it really kind of hasn't lended itself to anything. And I just look at that as like a normal business loss. You know, there's times where you come in where you're not necessarily underselling yourself. Cause one things I stopped doing is letting myself do work for free on the promise that I'll get paid later. But I've definitely got in with some companies like, okay, cool, this is going to be a great working relationship. I'm going to show them a little love here. You know, maybe I toss in some stuff for free or for a discounted rate. And then they say, thanks, we never want to work with you again. And they go off and you know, you basically just kind of invest, you know, made a gamble. So those are always the situations where, because you don't want to be, you know, I tell people, don't get it twisted. Like, one of the only kind of things, and this could also be a little bit of a regret, is that people now some of my clients even know me as the guy who's always talking about money and confidently pricing yourself. So a good thing about that is that they come correct.
Right.
But then also it creates this persona where I've even had to have conversations with a few of them where they're like, well, we don't want to, you know, we don't want to undersell you, or we don't want to. And then it becomes this thing where it's so rigid where they're like, they're thinking that if we have him for a minute over what we booked him for, you know, we're going to be the next subject in his next book, or we're going to be one of those bad clients. And so I tell people, I'm not like, you know what I mean? I'm not like this evil CEO of some corporation that's like, pay me for every second. You know, I do a lot of, especially with small businesses and people who need the help. I've done a lot of free things where I've gifted them photo shoots or gifted them content because they need it and they're trying to build their business. It just becomes an issue when you have people who are making money. Yeah, you have people who are making money, but then they don't want to pay you for it. They want to make money off of the content you're creating for them. And so that's where it usually is. I think it's just really just, but then also my biggest win is, you know, I talk about it in the book, but there was a client that came and I got thrown in like literally the day before the shoot. And so I had no room or time to negotiate the rate. And it was, I mean, it was laughable how much they paid me for the work that I did. I mean, it was just super embarrassingly low. And so I said, you know, hey man, let me just do this. You know what I mean? Let me do this and let's make it happen. And now that client has, you know, throughout the process, I was very, you know, open and honest with them about, hey, it's not always going to be like this. I'm doing you guys a huge favor. And, you know, I got thrown in the last minute, and like now they're one of my biggest clients that like literally they have paid me everything that I've asked for three projects now. And I'm on contract to do like a couple more projects with them. So it really, that me taking that one step back and just, you know, taking that loss on that project has literally set me up. I mean, that project, they booked me for a project in February, and that project was enough for me to take 3 months off to write this book. So,
Wow. You know what, Carrie? It's so funny. While you were talking, I was waiting. I wanted to, you know, jump in and say to you, you only have to be right once.
Mm-hmm.
You only have to get the right. Well, Jay-Z said it. I got it off what Jay-Z said on YouTube. You only have to be right once.
He said, I like
you
that.
You can remember that. You know, whatever, however it goes, it may not come today, tomorrow, just when you think it is, but you only need to be right once.
I love that.
Okay. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you just got to keep shooting. You know, there's going to be some times where you win and you lose, but you know, you just have to adjust, learn from it and move on. So, and like you said, the situation that's going to come along to where you're like, man, this gamble is worth it. You know what I mean? I don't spend my time in casinos, but there's, you know, there's people who the winning makes you feel like makes you forget all the losing, you know what I mean? And so, it has to be worth it for you to keep coming back. So I love that. I'm going to start incorporating that into my life. Yeah.
That's per Jay-Z.
I was going to say, let's lighten up the mood, but we are kind of lighten the mood. Let's pretend that we are at a private high-end event and the venue was almost at capacity and you can only invite one person per pair, per group. 50 Cent or Jay-Z?
50 Cent, 100%. So
you got to tell me why.
Man, I
love 52, so.
I say this all the time. It's funny that you ask this question. I tell people like, because people don't get like how, number one, how funny he is. I tell people all the time, I'm like, yo, if I had to somehow unfollow everybody on Instagram and I can only follow one person, it would be 50 Cent 10 times over. I talk about it in the book, like number one, his book, Hustle Harder, Hustle Smarter, mm-hmm. is hands down one of the best books I've ever read.
I have it on Audible and haven't listened to it yet. It's, I have it in my Audible library.
Listen, it's so good. This his okay. his bit, and it's one of the things I hate is when like celebrities write books and it's not in his voice. Like you yeah. could totally tell it's in his voice. It's very raw, real, honest. And just he just has such a smart business acumen. But then also, so I had a chance to meet him in LA. I was in LA for the Super Bowl week, and I had a chance. We were sitting down at the bar.
Yeah, this and, Super Bowl, right?
Yep, in LA. And so, yep, and so we were sitting at the bar, and he walks in, and I was like, I don't get starstruck. I mean, I've worked I'm very blessed to be able to say like my clientele is, you know, I interact with celebrities and athletes and stuff like that. So I've become kind of numb to it. So I never get starstruck, but I got starstruck when like 50 walked in. And so like, I kind of like made eye contact with him and he gave me like a what's up. And so I was like, man, all right, cool. Like that was pretty awesome. And so we were sitting there and everybody was just kind of talking and we were with this guy who was like very much like, man, like you guys need to go over there and talk to him. Like he's been drinking and he's like fired up. And I'm like, man, I'm not about to go over there and cut through all these people, because he was with a million people and everybody's at the bar. So I'm like, and he was very nice. People were coming up and taking pictures, but I'm just like, I'm not about to do that. Like, and he was like, man, you got it. Like, blah, 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 blah. So long story short, after a couple, you know, drinks, you get that courage. And so I just was like, you know, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to talk to him. So I went over there. I said, I don't, he was with the baby, the artist, the baby. And, mm-hmm. and he made a joke. He was like, hey, if you want a picture, he's like, it's $100. You got to pay me $100. And I was like, man, I said, I don't want a picture. I said, I just wanted to shake your hand. I said, look you in your eye, tell you that your book changed my life. I said, I would not be doing what I'm doing in business if it wasn't for your book. And so his response was like, he was like, oh man, I appreciate that. He was like, he's like, what kind of business do you have? And so this kind of sparked like a 3-minute conversation where he was very into it. I mean, he let everything else around us melt away. And he's like, oh man, like, you know, so you're in town for the Super Bowl, are you shooting? What are you doing? Like, very, very into it. And so I just thought that, you know, I just had so much respect in the world for him, even outside, like I said, being a big fan. So sorry, that was a really long answer to your question.
No, that was good.
But,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Good. Yeah. You know, I like 50 a lot because, you know, he's bounced back and forth. And, you know, I've heard so many stories about him helping people, mm-hmm. you know, and I also like it because he keeps stuff started, but it's all in good fun. And
yeah.
It's all about the business. And I just like it. Plus, he reminds me of a childhood boyfriend. I just really like him so much. No, it's true. It's true. And the person, and he died young. He died in his 20s, you know. Mm. And so 50 just reminds me so much of him. Yeah.
Gotcha. So, well, you will love him 10 times more after you read the book, I promise you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to listen to it. Yeah. Okay, good.
So how about Luka Doncic or Dak Prescott?
Dak's my guy. I gotta go with Dak. Okay. Yeah, I'm a football guy. I gotta go with Dak.
Okay. I don't even need to ask why. Okay. Idris Elba or The Rock?
Ooh, The Rock. I'm gonna have to go with The Rock.
I'm gonna ask why for The Rock.
He just seems chill. I like Idris Elba too. I watched this like Complex thing where he was doing shopping for sneakers. He seems really cool, but like The Rock, I don't know, The Rock, I just think like he probably wins in that area. He just seems super chill. And he's another guy that I think has like really, really smart business mind. So oh, yeah. I think it'd be cool to just be around him and rub off. And I grew up a huge wrestling fan. So, yeah.
All righty.
Tom Cruise or Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks. Yeah, like I'm not a big Tom Cruise fan.
Okay.
All
right.
Yeah.
And finally, Jerry Jones or Tony Romo?
Ooh, Tony Romo.
Yeah. Did I ask why or?
I don't know. I just don't think like I feel like Jerry's so far. Like, I just feel like there's nothing that, like, I just feel like when he's in that world where it's just like, man, like, we just, I don't know, maybe we might have fun. You know what I mean? I don't know. They were great to us when I worked for the company, but, you know, I don't know. I just don't know how much we would have to talk about or in common or whatever like that. So Tony Romo, probably. Yeah. But I don't know, man, Tony Romo, I know everybody loves his broadcast, but he talked too much for me when he's doing the games. Like, so that might, I might have to just be by myself on that one.
I hear you. Neither, right?
Yeah.
Option is neither. Yeah. There you go.
So, okay. So getting back to all of your talents, which one do you enjoy doing more professionally, photography or videography?
Definitely photography. Photography. You said, how did I get started?
Yeah.
It's a kind of a long story. I'll try to make it short. But when I was in high school, I did music. And like I played instruments, I played the trumpet and I rapped. And so I was like, oh man, I like that. I want to do that. I want to open a studio and all this stuff. And then I kind of realized like, man, that's not really a career that I'm really trying to pursue. And so, you know, I was trying to get to college and things like that. And I always had really good grades. And so I pretty much had my pick of colleges I could go to. And I remember they came in for like a high school career day and, Xavier. I went to Xavier for 2 years. I actually dropped out, but I went to Xavier for 2 years, but I originally was going to go for pharmacy school. Mm-hmm. They came in and they were like selling it. They were like, you guys, how would you like to be a doctor in 6 years and make $100,000 and all this stuff? And they told you all the good stuff about it. So I was like, sign me up, like whatever. And I get there and I was like, I'm not about to take these 3-hour labs and all these, like, you know, and it was really competitive. And it was just something that I knew I could put my head to it and do it, but I just didn't want to do it. And so I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do and ended up doing computer science as my major. But I wasn't really like crazy about that and then ended up dropping out. And so I was kind of still in the music scene a little bit. And I had some friends who were doing music and, I didn't want to be just hanging around as like a studio groupie. So one day I was like, hey guys, I kind of want to pick up a camera and start like messing around with like footage and videos and stuff like that. You know, I was like, hey, would you guys like mind if I shot some like music videos for y'all? And they were like, yeah, like, let's do it. And so I bought a camera on Craigslist. And I was working at the Apple store at the time with some like really talented photographers and videographers. So I was like asking them a bunch of questions and things like that. And like the way New Orleans is, because I'm from New Orleans. So I was in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so the way New Orleans is very small. So like I just knew all the right people. And like before you know it, like this guy who's like my mentor, Nesby Phipps, he called and was like, hey, like Cash Money and Lil Wayne, they're doing a turkey giveaway. You want to come get some footage?
Wow.
And so like, literally I just picked up a camera like a month ago and I'm standing like 5 feet away from Lil Wayne shooting all this stuff. And so like, and there was this moment where I was just like, yo, like if this is what I could be doing and I don't even know how to fully work this camera yet, like I could probably do something really, really great with this. And it's been, you know, 11 something years now. And
yeah.
I've been doing it, you know, pretty much the entire time. So it just, the rest is really kind of history.
Awesome. Okay. And so can you tell us what your favorite project has been?
Oh, I feel like it changes like by the month. It really does. Because every time I do one, I'm like, oh yeah, this is definitely my favorite. And then I do another one and I'm like, oh man, like this is definitely my favorite. So I'm trying to think. Probably I just wrapped the project with AT&T. We did some stuff in Chicago. And so I felt like the footage was really, really beautiful. And so it wasn't any like groundbreaking stuff, like as far as like they were promoting like their employee clothing line. So it's not anything where it's like super crazy, but I thought the footage looked really great. So right now that's my current favorite, but I don't know, the project I'm working on and I'm editing right now might end up beating that one out. So
yeah. So it changes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So
Do you ever feel like it's a competition among creatives? You know, when you're, I guess, if you're competing for jobs, do you ever feel any type of competition, or is it healthy? What are your thoughts?
I do feel like it's a competition. I unfortunately feel like, but I feel like it shouldn't be. You know what I mean? There is a post that's like circulating social media right now talking about, it's a long like handwritten post where somebody's basically saying like, creatives aren't athletes. We aren't competing to be the best. We're just competing to create content that resonates with our audience. And that should be our goal every time that we are stepping out to create. So I think everybody has different skills, talents. They look at the world different. So therefore, they're going to create content that hits into the world different. And I don't think everybody's right for every project. You know, I can't look at something that's a really cool thing and say, oh, man, I should have did that. They should have called me for that, you know, because it could have been a totally different outcome based off of the way that I see the world. And that vision translates into imagery. And so, unfortunately, I think as people are trying to scramble and they look at, you know, they look at my life on social media, they look at other people's life on social media, and they're like, oh, he worked with this person. Oh, he got to go here and do this with this company. And they want that for themselves, especially if they're in a position to where they may not be booking jobs. But people got to realize, like, you know, man, we all have a plate that's in front of us, and we got to focus on what's on our plate as opposed to looking over at other people. So sadly, I do see a lot of that competing with other people when really we should be lifting each other up. I pass a lot of work off. I send a lot of, you know, I get called, and usually if I'm not working with anybody or if I don't feel like I'm a right fit for the project, I will say, hey, but I know this guy or I know this girl, you should reach out to him. And that to me, yeah, that to me doesn't take any, you know, I wasn't gonna work with those people anyway. So it's not taking food off of my plate. It's not hurting me. And so it's about building the community up. But I see a lot of people, unfortunately, that they're just like the chipmunk stuffing things in their mouth. And it's like, I'm going to try to get every project that I can. I'm going to try to do everything that I can because I'm trying to store it up for a rainy day. I'm trying to build my clientele. I'm trying to build my brand and my name. And sometimes it feels counterintuitive, but you putting somebody else on can do more for building your brand and helping you than trying to store it all up. And then people, you get this kind of mindset of like, it's all about me. And then you don't have any connections. You're an island, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you are a Lone Star Emmy Award winner. You know, can you tell us what that's all about? And I know you just felt so much pride when you won. For the people who aren't from Texas, can you tell them what it is?
Yeah. So Lone Star Emmy is it's an actual Emmy, just like the Emmy that, you know, that you watch on TV, you know, whenever they play it. But it's they do regional Emmys as well. So there's region for like Texas is Lone Star. So it's everything in Texas. There's like ones for the West Coast, North, like every state has ones that they can, that you could submit content to. And it's recognized just like the national Emmys, but it's just in a smaller market. And so yeah, so I was blessed to be able to win two. I won one as for a special project that I did with the Cowboys to promote the playoffs. We did this this narrative commercial piece with Errol Spence. And so we won one for that one year. And then I won one overall as an editor the next year. So yeah, it's a
they won two.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Double congratulations.
Thank you so much. So yeah, it's something that you can kind of see him right there in the background. So
I do.
It's something I'm very thankful for, very proud of, to be able to just have that attached to my name for the rest of my career. And so very, very, very amazing experience. Really hard to like put into words, just thinking about like accepting it and having it and holding it and all those different things. So it's awesome.
Okay. Well, who are your top three celebrities that you would like to work with?
Number one on my list is Ryan Coogler. So he's
Black Panther.
Yeah, yep, Black Panther. He also did like Fruitvale Station, all those different things. And so he is really man, I mean, just the talent that that man has and just his vision, and he's so mysterious because he like doesn't have social media. He rarely does interviews. He's not in the forefront like, you know, like some other directors. And so I would really love to one day work with him. Even, I mean, look, I'll go grab that man's coffee. You know what I mean? Just to kind of sit at his feet and learn. That's something that's at the top. Outside of him, definitely LeBron James. I love LeBron. I'm not a huge basketball fan, but I just love the things that he's doing like off the court with like Uninterrupted and all those different things. And I don't know if y'all have seen the movie Hustle on Netflix yet with Adam Sandler.
Yes.
So good.
Adam Sandler, Queen Latifah, you saw.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good. Yeah.
So love that. And then one of the things I really want to do is so I want to direct. So me being from New Orleans, like I grew up on Cash Money. And so I just love I saw the NWA movie. I love that. I love the way that they did that. And so I really want to direct a movie that tells the story of Cash Money Records and coming up in New Orleans in the 90s and early 2000s. So that's on my list. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Somebody got to connect me and plug me with Birdman to make that happen. But man, I love the way that they told that NWA. F. Gary Gray did an amazing job. Cause you know, sometimes those movies, they don't do a good job. You know, I think I might get some hate for this, but I definitely think they botched Notorious. And I definitely think the Tupac movie, they keep trying to do it.
I didn't see Tupac. I saw Notorious. Notorious was okay. It wasn't great, but Tupac, it didn't even look good enough.
Yeah, yeah. It went viral on social because there was a lot of like, you know, I think people were talking about like Tupac had an iPhone in there and stuff like that. So it was I think it's so much pressure when you're telling these iconic stories. So when I saw NWA and I saw the way that F. Gary Gray did NWA, I just was blown away. And so it's been my dream to be able to tell Cash Money with me, because that was an integral part of like me growing up and my childhood. And you know, those guys were like the Beatles to me, you know what I mean? So I would love to tell that story and put that into the world. So,
okay, well, put that out into the universe. And
that's right. That's it.
So what's something that you do for fun that nobody else thinks is fun?
I'm starting to get into golf. I'm starting to get into golf, not just like top golf, but like actually hitting the course and being out there. I'm terrible at it. So bad at it. But it's nice. I mean, but a lot of people, what I always tell people is they're like, man, that sounds boring. But I'm like, it's more about the people that you're out there with. You get a good group of people, you're hanging out, you play a little music, you get you a drink and a cigar, and it's a really nice time. And it's so quiet and peaceful out there. You can be away from your phone. And so I always tell people, you know, you got to give it a try. You actually got to be out there. You got to not just think about hitting balls and driving to the next hole and all that stuff, you know, because it could be mundane. But yeah, so really I like that. And then reading, I love going to like the bookstores and I love reading. I love a good book. So like I will literally go and spend, you know, a couple hours in the bookstore just walking around browsing. So
okay. All right. And what's the last big item purchase you made?
Oof. What's the range? Because my wife gets on me all the time because I like to spend a lot of money sometimes. So
they could be. You want me to give you a numerical range or?
You're like in the thousands. In the thousands.
Yeah.
I just booked a vacation a few days ago. So that was
not a cruise, right? Because I know I heard that you don't like cruises too much.
Not a cruise. I will never, ever, ever go on a cruise. Me and my wife are going to Cabo next week. So probably that. I bought a watch yesterday, a nice gold watch yesterday. So that might be into it as well. But yeah, I spent a lot of money on sneakers. Not all at like one, but like that definitely runs up as well monthly over multiple pairs. So
yeah. I meant to ask about the sneakers, but I don't know much about sneakers because I'm not a sneaker person. But I did notice like on Instagram that you love your sneakers.
Yeah, I have. I never like post like my full closet, but I have like a shelf with they're just. I mean, and they're all over the place. It's an expensive hobby, but I love it though. I mean, they say when you meet people, the first thing they look at is the shoes, and it for some reason that's like psychologically like what we do. So, you know, I enjoy it.
Okay, so tell us what you're watching on TV right now.
I'm kind of in a show hole right now. Well, Raising Kanan just came back, which is So I need to check that out. I know the new season of Atlanta is coming out as well on FX. I didn't watch the third season. I think the fourth season is the fourth and final season. Yeah. I didn't watch the third season because I got like two or three episodes in and it was just weird, like the way that they were doing it. Very different. So I'm waiting on that to come back. But yeah, I got to catch up on Raising Kanan. And I've been doing like a lot of like documentaries or like miniseries. Like I really love like the miniseries that like HBO Max is doing. So I'll watch those because it's like you got five episodes, then you're done. It's like longer than a movie, more commitment than a movie, but like not as much of a commitment as like seasons of a show.
Mm-hmm. And would you ever do a reality show? And if so, what would it be about and what would the name of the show be?
Oh, that's a really good question. I probably would do it. I would do like a reality show and I don't know what I would call it, but I would probably do something where I could have like young creatives pitch an idea and almost kind of do it like Shark Tank. And basically they pitch an idea and whoever wins at the end of however many weeks it is, I would basically work with them to help bring the idea to life. So that would probably what I don't know. I don't know what I'd call it.
Yeah, that's so creative.
That's really creative. I like that.
Yeah, that's real good.
Ooh, yeah, VH1 might have to cut a check for that. So
Who or what has been your biggest inspiration?
It's a great question. Besides, like, not to be cliche, like definitely God. I think, you know, just being thankful of the gifts that he's given me and the positions that he's put me in. You know, I don't take it for granted, you know, because I look around and I'm like, I couldn't plan this. You know what I mean? I couldn't plan this. I couldn't work hard enough to put myself into some of these positions. So, that's a big part of like the whole nothing to lose, nothing to prove kind of mindset is that because something that I also have tattooed on me is audience of one. And what that means is that I approach everything with confidence that I'm not trying to win the approval of people. I'm already approved by God. And so for me, that's very big for me. It's just walking around. Yeah. With that mindset. So I don't know if I can necessarily say I'm inspired by God, but that like definitely drives me in everything that I do.
Okay. I like that. And were you a Cowboys fan before you started working for them? And are you one now that you are in business for yourself?
No, absolutely not. I was not a Cowboy. I was an Eagles fan. Huge,
wow.
Huge, huge, gigantic Eagles fan.
So funny.
Wow. Yeah, like And what's crazy is, so I started working for them in 2018, which is the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl. So I watched the Eagles win in February of 2018, cried, literally cried because I was so happy. And then 2 months later, I was working for the Cowboys, decked out in navy blue and wearing a star and all that stuff. So, yeah. So, and then when I left, I had definitely become somewhat of a fan of the team, mostly because of like relationships I had built. And, you know, you're around the team. You start to care for the guys and everything. And you want to win. It helps your job. You know, it helps you do your job, but then, you know, you want to win. You want to be a part of winning. So definitely kind of became a fan in that aspect. And then when I left, it was just really hard to jump back into real super fandom like I was before I started working there, just because I feel like I had peeled the curtain back and it kind of had lost some of its, you know, mystique. And it was just kind of, you know, I don't know. It just, for some reason, it just felt weird. So like, I would still like cheer for the guys that I knew and the relationships that I had built. And then now that I'm like working for other teams, like I know like other guys on other teams and things like that. So, so now when I sit down on a Sunday, I just pull up Red Zone and I'm just cheering for them and my fantasy team and, you know, whatever. And I still have some, you know, I still have a lot of friends that work with the organization. So when they win, I'm happy and, you know, want to see them do well and go far. But I don't know, I'm kind of rounding that corner. I have been paying a little bit more attention to the Eagles this offseason and feeling like I kind of want to get back in. And I work with a couple of guys on the Eagles team. So, of course, almost that's kind of like got me. Huh? What'd you say?
It's almost time to get in the mood, right?
Oh, I'm so ready. I'm so ready.
So, I mean, I was going to ask you because I didn't know that you weren't a Cowboys fan because we're not Cowboy fans. Don't tell Kyle.
Who's y'all seeing?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that your team or the Steelers?
Well, I don't really have a team. You know, I just go for the local team. Since I'm from New York, New Jersey area, I just go for the team in my area, which unfortunately has been like Giants.
At that point, you just get to pick again. Sorry. Yeah, like, you just pick somebody. You just close your eyes and pick. So.
And, you know, of course, I love, oh, my God. Mike Tomlin. I love the Steelers. So, you know.
You got Buffalo, too. You could slide Buffalo. Now's a good time to jump on that bandwagon a little bit.
No, I like Mike Tomlin. No, wherever he goes, I'm going to ride with Mike Tomlin. Okay.
If they could figure out a quarterback situation, they'll be pretty decent. I mean, what that man's been able to do with, first of all, us seeing the way that like Antonio Brown has like worked out and like Le'Veon Bell and for him to be able to navigate those two egos on that team. And then also they made the playoffs last year, right?
They did. They snuck their way into it. It was funny. Like they had to wait like the last possible minute to find out. And that was good for Big Ben. You know, he got
Yeah.
Because he's gone, right? He's finally retire, right?
Yeah. They had Mitch Trubisky or whatever his name is. He's up there.
He might be I could see them trading. I think there's some teams that are like quarterback rich right now. Like I think like, you know, like I look at the Panthers. How they have Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. One of those guys is going to win the job. So I could totally see the Steelers, if Mitch doesn't work out, making a mid-season or an early season trade to get the right. I mean, because they might be. I mean, they could slide into the playoffs like they did. Mike Tomlin is one of those guys where you're always going to have a chance with him. You know what I mean? So so if you give him the right pieces, you know, they could definitely be dangerous. So.
And they also have Jimmy G, not that he's great, but right. Jimmy G, I don't think he has a team now, right? Am I not? I think.
He's still with the 49ers. I know they're talking about trying to trade him though. I think people just trying to figure out what to do with his salary. So, cause he got paid real well.
For
not a whole lot of doing. So I think that's the biggest thing. So I could totally, that could also be a thing because they've committed to Trey Lance. So they're just trying to find. So I think once, you know, I think once people go out there and lose three or four games and realize like we got to right this ship. And, you know, they get a little bit more desperate. Then Jimmy G start looking real good for whatever they asking for him. So.
So, Ma, do you have any questions that you want to ask Harry before, you know, he tells us?
No, not really. You know, I was thinking, I always ask the same question. And my daughter tells me, don't ask. And so because she always tells me not to ask, I'm going to ask. Okay, here's a question. If for some reason you invited me to your home, what would I see? You know, how would you entertain? And what would be the thing that you would be the proudest of? What would be the thing that you would be most excited about, you know, to show me as your guest?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you're going to see a spotless house. My wife is very from top to bottom.
Very meticulous with everything.
I love her for it, because, you know, I'm admittedly not the cleanest, most organized person. So she keeps me that's one of the things I love. Like whenever I go out of town, I come back home and the house is just spotless, and she's very thoughtful about it. So you definitely notice how clean and nice it is. But
lovely. I love that.
Yeah, we love entertaining. We love having people over. We love cooking for people. We're big, especially us being from New Orleans. Like we love cooking and food. So we would definitely do that. And like one of the things, like it's not a physical thing that we show off, but a lot of people come and they feel we've worked really hard on creating a peaceful atmosphere, not just for us, but for the people that come in. So like people, it's not unusual that people will come in and fall asleep on our couch, or they come and they want to stay. Like
that sounds like me anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, for real. Like give you a good meal and let you get you a nap on the couch. And so.
That's so sweet.
I would love that.
You telling me it's super thoughtful.
Okay. So we just are very proud of the very peaceful atmosphere we've been able to create for ourselves, but then also people that come in. So you come in, get you a good food, get you a nap, we'll take care of you, you know, and get you some peace, you know.
Okay. I love that. That was really thoughtful. Okay. Well, that was my question.
Great question. I loved it.
Thank you.
Yes, that's her favorite question, but thanks for that question, Ma. Carrie, it was really great having you. Tell us what's next and where everybody can purchase. Tell us what's next and all your social media and where to purchase the book.
Awesome. Yeah. So you can purchase the book on my website, carrielofton.com. It's also available on Amazon. If you just search Money Talks Carrie Lofton and get an Amazon Prime to you within the next day. But you can buy it from my website if you want a signed copy or anything like that. All my socials is just Carrie Lofton on Twitter and Instagram. Those are the two that I use the most. As far as what's next for me, I'm working on a really big project with NASCAR right now, just doing creative direction for their playoffs. So that's very, very exciting. A lot going on behind the scenes with that. And then just me moving further into like this author space and helping. I'm working on a podcast called Money Talks, where I can start having more in-depth conversations about these things. I've been wanting to launch it, trying to find the right time, but it's about to happen soon, consultations. So allowing people to be able to book me for consultations. So if they have more questions that maybe something that wasn't covered in the book, or if it's something specific, whether it's like they want to sit down and work on their resume, or they're preparing for an interview, or they're putting together a proposal. I literally, a buddy of mine, he booked the biggest project he's ever booked in his career. And I basically, he booked like an early consultation session, and I sat down and I walked him through his budget on what he should be charging this client. And so he was able to think about those things, send it to the client, have it accepted. And I mean, it was a really, really big budget. And so those are the types of things that I'm going to basically be allow people to book, you know, 30, 45 minutes, an hour of my time, sit down, ask me questions one-on-one, because I'm very open. I try to get to everybody's DMs. I try to respond to everything as much as I can, but it takes time. I wish I could give it all away for free, but it does take so much of my time and I have so much going on. So this is a way for I can allow people to just further invest in themselves and their career and what they're working on. So that's pretty much it. So yeah, but very, very big. A lot going on the next, 3-4 months, just working on finishing the year strong. And then, about to start working on the second book too. Already got the idea and some title working. So we're about to start writing the writing process for that as well.
Okay. Well, I look forward to that, and we'll buy that whenever that comes out.
I appreciate it.
You're awesome. And I'm just, want to say congratulations to you. And thank you so much for coming on the show. I really do appreciate it. And everybody, stay safe, and we'll be talking to you soon.
And we will watch your star continue to rise. Okay.
Thank you. Thank y'all so much. I appreciate it. This was so awesome. I appreciate y'all.
We appreciate you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.